is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 12:44. This is Nation Radio. We're on until 2 o'clock today. Then it's Jungle Jim Hunter. And Jeff Kreshel joins us at 4 o'clock this afternoon with the Crush Health Show. And we're now joined by Cam Charron from Leafs Nation. How are you this afternoon, Cam?
Hi, Alan. It's good to be here as always.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. You're in Toronto?
Yeah, I'm still here. Very wet Toronto lately.
Is it really, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's awful. I have to stay inside and watch football all day.
Oh, you know, that sucks. Are you a CFL or NFL fan?
Anything. If there's athletic competition on TV, I'm probably watching it. I was up late last night watching Australian rules football too.
Oh my God, you're worse than I am. I'll watch anything but like opera and Australian rules football. But that's I like football. I like American college football, Canadian college football, CFL, NFL. I'm an old timey guy. I'm not as big on that. Who do you follow on the CFL? Who's your team?
Oh, BC.
Oh,
You know, from Vancouver. It's really hard to get into the Argonauts here too. There's just such little interest in the city, and I've kind of heard about that before coming in, but you wander around, it's a game day, and I live right downtown near the building, and you wouldn't know it. There was no activity until about 5 minutes before the game.
That's too bad, because you know what kills me as a fan, like I grew up in the West, and in the West the CFL has always had strong pull, but the 100th Grey Cup is in Toronto, and I mean you got to excite the city about the 100th Grey Cup. We'd do bad things for that game, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think it's, you know, the nod to the historical roots of the Toronto Argonaut Rugby Club and playing at York University or wherever. And so I guess they're keeping it around here because it's technically the birthplace of the game. But, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people coming from out of town. Toronto's a big city that with lots to do. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, any fans coming from out of town will be great for them.
And, you know, the Westerners always behave well when we go. So that'll be good, too. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit of hockey. What's up with this ridiculous ESPN survey that has the Leafs last among North American sports teams?
Yeah, I don't – their criteria – for that poll it seems extremely subjective. Things like fan or, you know, likability of players, you know, how nice the owner is. That's funny because there'll be owner, like, you know, there's one owner who runs maybe two or three teams, and those teams will be so wildly spread through the ownership rankings, standings. And it's funny when you look at kind of individual rankings for the teams, and Pittsburgh had something like the ninth most likable players in the NHL out of 30 teams. And I don't know anybody who likes Pittsburgh Penguin players in Canada or outside of Pittsburgh, pretty much. They have Matt Cook, and Sidney Crosby is, you know, perceived as extremely annoying in the media. And it's just sort of funny when you really break it down and look at just these sort of inaccuracies. And, you know, I think that the right way to rank it would be if it's such a bad fan experience, no one would buy it. And I think that what a good objective measure would be the amount of revenue contributed to the league, the amount of money that people are willing to spend on this team. And I think that the Leafs would rank pretty highly, and there's a lot of interest out here for Toronto, so it can't be that bad of a fan experience.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I've been aware of hockey since the 60s, and you can't pull two nice things out of me about Toronto, but the Maple Leafs are, you know, absolutely the most popular franchise in Canada. And you can go to a small town in Saskatchewan right now and find a Leafs jersey. I guarantee it. Name one. Somebody there cheers for the Leafs. So for me, it was outrageous beyond any other. I think Edmonton was 95th or something like that. And I guess maybe it's a matter of, as you mentioned, the criteria. But what a poor representation, I think, of Major League Sports in North America. And I think ESPN's better than that. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And they were right behind Sacramento, and Sacramento, the prevailing wisdom is that they're more gone than the Coyotes are. And Phoenix was actually the best ranked fan experience among the NHL teams. And I think that if you're an individual Coyotes fan living in Glendale, then, you know, you're getting a pretty good team, pretty good value for your buck, but there's no guarantee that that team is going to stay there for, you know, even next season. I think it's still up in the air. They don't have the money yet.
Let's talk a little bit about the Leafs. I'm somewhat disappointed with the summer, only in that I like Brian Burke when he's belligerent and caterwauling, and he hasn't done a lot of that this summer. It's been kind of a quiet year in Toronto. Was that by plan, or did it just work out that way for the Leafs?
Something got into Brian Burke's coffee at some point, because he stopped being the belligerent, you know, reckless guy that we've known him to be in Vancouver. And you hear these stories about how on July 1st he was at the parade in Toronto, but he'd be checking his BlackBerry and he'd be seeing what guys were signing for, and he'd just say nope, 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 and he thinks that players are so overpaid right now that he doesn't want to get in on that, it seems. And the funny thing is that the moves that he did make this summer, he got Jay McClement, he traded Luke Shen for James Van Riemsdyk. I think that the team got better, but he just didn't make enough moves. And it's clear that when he's a guy who does make these moves, the team does get better. He is very good at trades. He is very good at finding value in restricted free agent contracts. But when he does more than that, I think that part of what's holding the Leafs back is some of the unrestricted free agent deals that he signed in the past. When he's trying, you know, he tried to get Tim Connolly to be the first line center, and, you know, Tim Connolly ended up costing him quite a bit of money, so he doesn't want to do that again. It's just, you know, there's too much risk, and every bad move is going to be parsed so bad, you know, so much over here, that there's just no real point in doing it. I think that the new CBA structure will be interesting to see for the Leafs, but I don't think that Burke is the guy who's, you know, he's done small market teams almost his whole career, and he had a very tight, restrictive budget in all those places, and he has a lot more money and a lot more freedom in Toronto, and I just don't think he's used to it.
The deal that I thought he'd make, and I'll say the word Luongo, but it didn't have to be Luongo. He's got two young goaltenders. I like both of them. I think Scrivens is a really good young goaltender, and I like the Reimer kid too. But you might not want to go into a season with those two. Was there not a deal, and I guess the answer is no, because it didn't happen, where you package one of those goalies for, along with something else, for a Luongo or for somebody who is an established number one goaltender in the National Hockey League?
Well, the indication that we've been getting out of Vancouver is that Mike Gillis doesn't necessarily want to give Luongo up for, you know, just to get him off the books. And I think he's fine going into next season with 1A, 1B goalies in Luongo and Schneider. It's just a question of fitting them under the cap. And if you have to trade one, you got to trade Luongo. Now, the problem with moving him to Toronto is that Toronto doesn't necessarily have the pieces to acquire him, and without giving up someone who's, you know, a real significant piece in their rebuild, and that would be someone I think that the name on the Leafs depth chart, Clark MacArthur, is sort of the highest you can get without being untouchable. But he's, you know, he's not someone that you want to package with James Reimer or Ben Scrivens for Luongo if you're Vancouver. It's just, you know, these are players that can be picked up for cheap anywhere. And so I just don't think that Toronto has the assets to make a big deal for Luongo. I think that they need to build their prospect system. I think they need to keep signing guys out of the NCAA. And I think that they need to hold on to some draft picks and maybe actually unload one or two of their stars for younger players. And I look at Joffrey Lupo, and I don't think that Vancouver would want him, but, you know, somebody would for one or two prospects. And you can just slowly build up the prospect farm like that until, you know, you can package a couple of those guys together for a big major piece on your team.
Cam, are we seeing maybe that Brian Burke isn't going to get it done there? Is that what we're talking about here? And I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be let go tomorrow, but, you know, he's been there for a time and he was brought in with a great reputation. And mm-hmm. and really, it's been same old, same old. Are we maybe seeing that Brian Burke is over halfway done his Toronto time?
Yeah. Well, I think he has one more year on his contract, and they're new owners at MLSE now, and you know that's going to be up to them. And this is quite a big year, and the Leafs are really going to need to show some sort of progress on the line, because you know that's really where Burke's job is going to come down to. And you know, there are going to be I think that there are people on the board who are going to be looking at all these properties now. And, you know, the Raptors don't, you know, they're missing out on postseason revenue, and Toronto FC is missing out on postseason revenue, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are missing out on postseason revenue. And this is costing the organization quite a bit of money that, you know, they should be probably getting. And looking at the Leafs as the one team from lockout to lockout that didn't make the playoffs, and that's a huge deal for a lot of fans in Toronto. It's you know, it all comes down to the new owners, with whether or not they think that Burke's going to be the guy going ahead. And so this year is going to be their evaluation period. I don't think that they're just going to come up and fire him tomorrow, as you said, but they're probably going to spend this year to evaluate him. And if they don't make the playoffs over the next season, there's got to be some real significant progress in at least one or two aspects of the organization.
Cam, thanks for this, man.
All right. Always good to be on, Alan.
All right. That's Cam Charron from Leafs Nation. Give us an interesting update. I've been thinking about Brian Burke in Toronto, you know, going there with such high expectation and, you know, having success in previous locales, specifically Anaheim. But something tweaked in my mind. I remember him giving credit to Brian Murray, and Murray did a lot of the building of that team. And I'm not suggesting that Brian Burke wasn't a part of the success there, but there was a really nice nest that had been put together by Brian Murray in Anaheim before they started really winning when Burke got there. And Toronto did not have that. And maybe that's part of the problem. And I think Cam addressed that a little bit about building up the prospect. They had a great draft, but, you know, it takes 2 or 3 years for that to get going. But our thanks to Cam Charron and our guest in the first hour. Coming up in hour number two, Eric Tulski is going to talk to us a little bit about, advanced stats and the Philadelphia Flyers. And we'll also have Thomas Drance from Canucks Army, and next hour as well, Jonathan Willis from Cult of Hockey and Oilers Nation. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.